Morning, everyone. Well, it sure ain't as nerve-wracking up here when I see the size of the crowd. I don't know why that makes a difference. And happy Mother's Day to all you moms. It's not what I'm going to talk about this morning, really, but I was just thinking I'm sure glad for a godly mom that I had and that I have one. When I leave for work, I know my wife will be there with my children all day, and I know I can trust her. And yeah, there's a lot of blessings there that I don't think of on a normal level. Okay, for my little, it's not a sermon. I'm not sure what you call it. Maybe a topic, but unless you get confused, this is not a sermon. I was thinking kind of along the lines of fear or worry, and then kind of the opposite of that would be faith. And I thought I'd talk about that a little bit this morning. I knew Mother's Day was coming up, but I forgot about it till I was too far into this. I didn't feel like backing up, so my apologies if you were hoping for a Mother's Day theme. Okay, fear is a pretty big subject. I don't plan on covering it all. When I thought about it, my only job up here this morning is to say what the Bible says, and that made it seem a little easier, so, I'm going to try to do that, and I got my own thoughts too, but I'm not going to be just reading scripture. But anyway, fear is, the definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by being aware of danger or a feeling of being afraid. So I'm probably the only one here that ever faces that. There's all kinds of things that we can be afraid of, actually, that cause different people to be afraid. Different people are afraid of different things. And I made a little list of fears that, I don't know, might affect some people, and just physical things. You could add to them, or just a simple one. Some people, especially little people, are afraid of the dark. We can be scared of accidents. We can be scared of water, fire, tornadoes, earthquakes, heights, being up high on a roof somewhere, snakes. Some people are scared of snakes. I am too sometimes. Sickness and disease. Y'all know what a phobia is? I thought it was kind of interesting. I guess I kind of knew what it was, but I think the definition of it would be kind of like a fear that's pretty much, I don't know if it's overpowering, but it's a pretty serious kind of fear. And there's all kinds of phobias out there that people have. I gotta read some of those off. One of those is dentophobia. That's the fear of going to the dentist. I don't know if I can say all these right. Arachnophobia is a fear of spiders. Claustrophobia is a fear of tight spaces. Agoraphobia is a fear of open spaces and crowds. So if you got that, you should be fine this morning. Glossophobia is a fear of speaking in front of a crowd. I wonder what that'd be like. Ornithophobia is a fear of birds. Aquaphobia is a fear of water. And what's the other one? Acrophobia is a fear of heights. Some ones that might be more real to us is we can fear war and terrorism. We can fear persecution. Can be big ones for some of us. It can be more real depending what part of the world you live in. And there's a fear of what people think of us. That's one that I got sometimes myself. That's not necessarily a good fear. Fear what people might do to us, what people might say about us. Most of us don't go around wondering where our next meal is coming from, or what we're going to wear, or where our clothes are going to come from. But a lot of folks, and depending where you live, have that. That's reality to them. They probably fear it. Like I said, there's good fears and there's bad fears. I found a list of these, and I'll read over some. I think I got about all of them. There's one of the good ones is a holy fear, which is just an awe or respect of God. It's one we should all have. And another good one is filial fear, which is basically what a child has towards his father, and what we should have is for God, who is our heavenly Father. There's also a fear for unforgiven sin in someone who knows that he has sinned. That could be a good one, depending if it's treated right. There's a fear for others who are in danger. A good fear for, I don't know, maybe someone who doesn't know God, or, yeah, someone we care about that doesn't know him. Some of these, there's different aspects to it. It's hard to know how to categorize them as good or bad. But there's a fear or dread or terror of God's holiness. For the wicked, that could be a fear that they have. There's also a fear that God puts in the heart of other men's hearts who fear his... see if I can say this right. Who fear God's people. That's in Deuteronomy 11:25. God told... speaking of the children of Israel, I think, when he said... I can't remember exactly what it was. Something to the effect that other nations would fear them. And like I mentioned earlier, there's a fear of man. I don't know why it has to be important what other people think of me, but that's something that we face sometimes. And there's also a fear of those who are in authority over us. That can be a good fear. Or it can be a senseless fear, another way of looking at it. And there's a terror of the unknown. Jesus talks about that in Luke 21, verse 26. It's a passage where Jesus is talking about end times, and he mentions that. And there's also cowardice, or being timid. It's more these last two that I was thinking about this morning. Some fears God puts in us, some are not from God. The kind I'm talking about is not really of God. It could be classified as worry or apprehension. There's probably some other words for it too. We could turn to 2 Timothy 1. The verse there I'd like to read. Second Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. It's pretty clear there. God does not give us fear. It's not from him. Things he does give us love. That's evident in other places of the Bible. A sound mind would kind of give you the idea of spiritual sanity, or good sense, maybe be a way to say it. John 14, verse 27. We could turn there if you want to. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus can replace fear with peace. He can replace worry with good things. The world doesn't give does not give peace. He does not. The world doesn't give. It doesn't give peace. It gives fear, basically. It gives unbelief. It gives worry. If you look at the news, it don't take long to figure out. There's a lot of bad out there that we could fear if we let it get to us. Going back to the Old Testament, back to Numbers 13, it's a story of the 10 spies, and we all know it, but I'm going to read it anyway, part of it. Numbers 13, verses 25 to 33. Start reading. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran unto Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is a fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched, unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So were we in their sight. The 10 spies here were just being logical. If you look into that a little bit, it's interesting who the people of Anak were and what their reputation was. They were giants, big, strong men. They were known to be cruel, to be tyrants. The one thing I read on them traced them back to in Genesis. Can't remember how the verse is. Something about the sons of men, sons of God, and the children of sons of God and daughters of men. Basically, they thought these people of Anak were maybe half man and half God. That's a possibility, anyway, that they were thought of like that. But it wasn't someone you wanted to just walk up and take over the city. The cities were walled and protected. That's what the 10 spies here were saying, just made a lot of sense. Joshua and Caleb could have sounded a bit crazy to say we can go and we can do this. Their only difference was they left God out of the picture. The spies did. Joshua and Caleb, everybody had the same facts. Joshua and Caleb had faith in God. They had faith. If I'm using the same logic that Joshua and Caleb did back then, it might be comparable to me. Maybe me offering to play basketball with Michael Jordan. It'd probably be something along those lines. I don't have a chance. I don't even know how to play basketball. It wouldn't work. That's basically what Joshua and Caleb were telling the children of Israel to do. So the spies sounded right. They can't really blame the children of Israel for not going along with it. So that kind of brings us into the thing of faith. We can turn to, I might read Romans 3, verse 3. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want to. Romans 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Whether we believe in God or not, it doesn't make him any less effective. He's still there. It might not, if I don't have faith in him, it won't be applicable to me, but he is still there for when I want him. Or for when I, if I can say that right. If I don't exercise faith and use God to work and let God work with me, it is only my fault. It's not that God ever didn't have enough power. He didn't have enough strength. He's always been the same. He won't change in that way. He won't change in any way, I guess. So talking about courage and faith a little bit, I was coming up here. The definition of courage, I'll say that first, this first, is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. That's the definition of courage. The definition of faith is strong belief or trust in someone or something. I was kind of preparing to share a little bit about courage, and I got to looking it up in the concordance, and there's very few places in the New Testament that use the word courage. I found one. There might be more, but it's the only one I could find. Even words similar to that, bravery, or there's maybe a few others. The New Testament doesn't have a lot to say about that. Now, faith is a little different. It has quite a bit to say about faith. We can turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We know what chapter that is. I might actually read that. And it's a fairly long chapter. But I'll read over it. I don't have a lot of comments for all the verses, but just listen to the these people of the Old Testament that were strong in faith and what God did with them. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was right, that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned into the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength, and conceived seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth, on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, and leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, of scourgings, yea, moreover, the bonds of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. My conclusion on this thing of courage, I'm not sure if God needs brave, courageous men. He needs men of big faith. You can take that as I mean it. There's a way we need to be courageous for him, but he wants us to replace fear and worry with faith. We don't need to be, I'm not sure what the word is. I don't know if he needs us to come being the fix-it-all man, if that makes sense, as much as he wants us to have faith in him. Hope that makes sense. In verse 1 of Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives reality and proof to the things that we can't actually see. And then in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It says pretty plain we can't please God without faith. Like I said earlier, faith or fear doesn't come from God. Faith does. Through faith that we believe that God created the world. We believe that Jesus came to the world for us, and we believe the promises that he gave us. We believe he can take care of his own children. He takes care of us. We can read that in Matthew 6. Through faith, we can believe that he's coming back someday. Worry doesn't bring honor to God. Faith in good times is easier than faith in hard times. Why is that? When things are going good, it doesn't seem like it's that hard to sometimes be thankful and praise God for everything he's done. But when hard times come, then I somehow tend to blame it on God. Why is it like that? Faith in hard times is where it is apparent that God is real to us. And that's where it gives him the most glory. Back to this thing of the giants in the land of Anak. Everybody has giants that we fear. It takes faith to fight them. We can't win the battle with our own reasoning or on our own strength. Only a faith in God will do that for us. I think that's all I have for this morning. I want to leave that with y'all, hopefully. It's a blessing to y'all. Something I could use for myself. To make sure I know where my strength is coming from, I guess. That's all I have. Why don't we stand for prayer? I'll give it back.